hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment. Master Commissioner Robert Mayer presiding.
Please be seated. We will hear a total of, I believe, 5 cases this morning. I will hear the first 3 cases. We'll then take a brief 10-minute recess, and MC Matthews will hear the last cases this morning after the recess. The first case to be heard is number 2015-2073, Novita Industries versus Lorain County Board of Revision. And on behalf of the appellant, Mr. Connors, please present your argument.
Good morning. The central issue is whether the continuing complaint jurisdiction extends to tax year 2014. This case was decided by the BTA on April 15, 2014. The statute, the relevant statute, says that continuing jurisdiction applies for every ensuing year until finally determined, and 2 Supreme Court cases have decided that that includes the entire tax year for the year of final determination. Jaeger was decided January 11, 2011, and tax year 2011 was considered to be part of continuing jurisdiction.
Isn't there also a contention here that the document that was filed to assert the continuing complaint, did it have the year 2013 on it, or did it also have 2014 on it?
It only had 2013. That was the form that was used.
Okay. And what about, and 2012 wasn't listed on there?
2012 was written in above it.
Oh, okay.
So that was on that form.
But that does not matter in your view, and why does it not matter?
Well, I guess there's 2 countering theories. One is, and this goes to the issue of how do we invoke continuing jurisdiction. No procedure has been stated, and any ambiguity must be construed in favor of the taxpayer. Actually, we don't know what the right procedure is to invoke continuing jurisdiction. Some cases have used a letter. Now, even if we applied, but that exception has its limits to the extent that it is procedurally valid. You could, if you file a new complaint, a fresh complaint that is procedurally valid, cut off continuing jurisdiction. But the Lorain Board of Education is saying there was no procedurally valid complaint filed for 2014. So either theory. Now, we are contending that we have invoked continuing jurisdiction. But even if you accepted the other theory, they're not contending that a valid complaint was filed for 2014.
Now, before the BOR, was it made clear to the BOR that Novita wanted the carryover value for all 3 years?
Yes. There's and it was part of the appendix, a hearing brief, which clearly laid out our position, that we were asking for continuing jurisdiction over the years 2012, 13, 14. And that's before this court, and there's no question that that's what was asked. So the notion that there was no proper notice is just simply not valid. The argument is that because the client went in and grabbed a form after writing 2 letters to the auditor saying, please apply the previous ruling, the BTA, without legal representation, use that form, that supposedly precludes us from continuing jurisdiction. That's their argument. So I think there's a larger issue that I would offer, by the way. The Jaeger Court is saying the best practice is that an order be requested from the BTA, this being the first go around, asking them to actually decide all of the years that are before it through continuing jurisdiction. And if you don't do that, you have to go back to the BOR a second time. And that's the procedure we followed, the procedure that Jaeger has outlined, because we didn't make a specific request. However, thinking about this, the initial complaint is that request. And the statute says continuing jurisdiction. And two Supreme Court cases say that this is before you.
What about the BTA's holding that for 2014, invoking the continuing complaint was too early for 2014?
That's their contention. It's similar to the contention in Inner City, which was in the, 97. It was clearly laid out in Inner City that the Supreme Court did not agree with that view.
Well, as I recall, in Inner City, the continuing complaint was requested in the year after the calendar year that was placed at issue, whereas here it was during the calendar year, right,
well,
for 2014.
I've got Inner City, and they were talking about 1996, and the decision was August 30, 1996. So the contention, unless I'm not understanding you, was that the tax year of the year of final determination.
Well, I think that the taxpayer submitted its request for the continuing complaint early in 1997 in that case. So it's a little different. But your argument is that doesn't matter anyway.
Correct. Right? Now we're getting into the procedural question. How do you invoke continuing jurisdiction? And there's no clarity because this is case law. But
are you familiar with a case called Life Path Partners? This court issued it a couple of weeks ago.
I am not.
Specifically acknowledges the use of a request letter.
Okay.
So can the document that Novita submitted be viewed as a request letter?
I would contend that that is that you need some paper going to them to let them know, hey, we want continuing jurisdiction.
Of course, on its face, the statute, excuse me, says you don't need to file anything, but obviously
you've got to alert
people
them.
Do.
You have to let them know that this is coming. I am contending that Jaeger is incorrect, and I'm asking the Supreme Court to change that. The notion that there is a final appeal determination before you have concluded or determined all of the years before you would be inconsistent with all general concepts of final judgment. In other words, the BTA had before it the year 2014, 2013, 2012 by means of the statute. They only decided 2012. Under Jaeger, they say you need to go back and remind them, BTA, we want a ruling on those other 3 years. And if you don't do that within 30 days of that decision, you got to go back to the BOR a second time. I think the larger point is this. The BTA has not issued has not finally determined the appeal until they've finally determined all of the tax years that are before it. So there was no final determination. This we've been required now to go through two BOR proceedings, two BTA proceedings, and we still can't get the BTA to acknowledge what Inner City and Jaeger have told them, that the year of determination is before you. I would ask the Supreme Court to revise Jaeger and say, BTA, your appeals aren't final until you determine all the years before you.
But even if the court doesn't do that, it can still grant the relief that you seek.
Yes, right. This is over. It's
over and above.
Not determinative. All right. Well, I would like to address, how much time do we have here? Can I? Thank you. Just briefly, the contention on the cross appeal is that we did not provide adequate notice of the amount at issue, assuming that we are incorrect, that continuing jurisdiction is not applied, that we've initiated a new complaint. The BTA said it's clear what the that the request involved $750,000, and the statement was made, see the BTA ruling. So, and we've got Groveport, that the really what's issue here at issue, the core of procedural efficiency. And if you don't provide sufficient information to allow the BOR to provide notices, you're not really being procedurally efficient. Now, they're attempting to use that concept to say that nobody understood that $750,000 was the amount being requested. And I think that that would be the core of procedural inefficiency in this case.
But the BTA decision was attached to
correct
the document that asked for a continuing complaint.
Yes, and there's two letters beforehand that were disregarded saying, please apply this by the client. Going further, you can look at the BOR hearing brief. We asked for $750,000. We didn't just say carry it over. We said you must consider it as the market value for 2009 when you're testing the cost approach, which you came up with $1.557 million. But it's a 40 or 50-year-old building, and usually you don't use cost approach. So they wouldn't use the market to test that. That was what we were arguing. And furthermore, even their own document said cost analysis was $854,000. I don't know how they got to $1.5 million. So I want to put that forth before you and reserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Connors. Mr. Konzer.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Thomas Konzer. I'm counsel for the Lorain City School District in this case. Your Honor, the statute confers jurisdiction on the Board of Revision to review valuations of real property made by a county auditor. Although that statute confers broad authority on the Board of Revision, the parties also have to invoke that jurisdictional authority. And everyone has to know what is being invoked. In this case, the property owner did not ask that the auditor's 2012 value be reviewed by the Board of Revision and determined if it is a correct value or not. It's important to remember that in this case, there was a decision in 2009, on the 2009 tax year. In 2009, the auditor had valued this property at $2.119 million. The property owner sought a reduction to $750,000 based on an alleged arm's length sale in June of 2009. Ultimately, the Board of Tax Appeals approved that request. The Board of Tax Appeals entered an order in April of 2014 ordering that the property be put on the tax duplicate for 2009 at $749,980. Before that decision was made in 2012, the Lorain County Auditor, pursuant to his statutory obligations, reappraised all of the property in the county. That was a sexennial reappraisal. And being aware of that sale, because the property record card shows that sale of $750,000, despite that, the auditor revalued the property and valued it for 2012 at $1,647,310. Obviously, the auditor concluded that that sale no longer reflected true value for the property. Now, in response to the Board of Tax Appeals decision, the property owner in July of 2014 submitted several documents to the Board of Revision. None of these documents requested a review of the auditor's 2012 valuation. All of them simply requested that the value set by the Board of Tax Appeals in 2009 as a matter of law had to be carried forward and used for 2012-2013. In fact, there's a critical point here. When the property owner submitted his document, he took the county's complaint in their form complaint said 2013 tax year. He modified it to say 2012, right up here, wrote in 2012. Never requested anything be done for 2014, okay? And throughout the paperwork submitted, the property owner continually said, we ask that the 2009, as a matter of law, be carried forward into 12, 13, and 14.
Well, wasn't something filed at the BOR asking also for 2014?
After the BOR hearing, the property owner filed a brief, or I believe it was after the hearing or immediately before. I asked that 2014 be considered, but again, did not ask for a review of the 2012 valuation. Simply said, carry forward that 2009 BTA order into 12, 13, and 14. The closing line on that brief, for the above reasons, the BTA's determined value at $750,000, it's the determined value for 2009, must be applied for tax years 2012, 13, and 14. Their sole position was that as a matter of law, the 2009 value had to be applied for 12, 13, 14. And clearly that is not correct under AERC Sawmill Creek, because the auditor had to do a reappraisal. This wasn't a triennial update. This was a sexennial reappraisal. And if the property owner wanted to challenge that, he should have informed everybody that that's what he was doing. In fact, consistent with not challenging that value, in the Board of Revision, the property owner didn't even present any valuation testimony. The only thing presented was the 2009 BTA decision. Now, that being said, there were several defects here. First, 2014 was never brought into play.
Well,
at the end of the Board of Revision hearing, no prior notice to the school board or the county that 2014 was being brought into play prior to the Board of Revision hearing.
What would the school board have done differently had 2014 been mentioned before the BOR hearing?
Well, if we may have looked at an appraisal at that point, but certainly if the second aspect had been done, if the property owner had said, look, I'm not relying on carrying forward 2009 as a matter of law, I want 2012's value reviewed, then we would have had an appraisal done at that point.
But that occurred for the first time then at the BTA, correct? They presented an appraisal.
They did present an appraisal at the BTA, but at the BTA they were still arguing for the carry forward, not for a revaluation of the auditor's value. In fact, at the pre-hearing brief that the property owner submitted to the BTA, again, their closing statement in that brief on page 7, for the above reasons, the BTA's determined value at $750,000 must be applied for tax years 2012, 2013, and 2014. No request that the 2012 value be considered and reviewed, only that the 2009 value had to be carried forward, and it invalidated the 2012 value. If there had been adequate notice to the school board, then the school board could have presented appraisal evidence at that time. We did not, because there was no notice that the appraisal valuation was necessary. We were only arguing a legal issue of carrying forward the 2009 value.
Let me ask you a question about the school board as appellee here. Does the school board agree with the BTA's reasoning about tax year 2014?
Did we agree with that?
Right, that it was premature and that it was before the finalizing of the assessment.
Yes, we did, Your Honor. And that was our position in the Board of Revision and the BTA. I think it was consistent with the current BTA decisions, which held that you had to wait till the tax year was certified.
Might there not be a distinction there between filing an original complaint and asserting the continuing complaint?
I think there could be a distinction. I think this court in LifePath may have indicated that requesting evaluation in 2014 in this case at the July of 14 may well have been proper. But again, it wasn't done at that point. Okay, it wasn't done in the complaint. I mean, again, the complaint was modified and it said 12 and 13. What are we supposed to do?
But then later, at some point in the later in the proceeding, 2014 then comes up, both before the BOR and presumably at the BTA as well.
After the Board of Revision hearing was concluded.
Okay.
Okay, which is a little late to present evidence, since we're supposed to present the evidence at the Board of Revision. Okay. And then we continued to argue in the BTA that 2014 was not a valid year. And again, in the BTA, there was no request for appraisal evidence because there was no need for appraisal evidence because there was no request to review the auditor's 2012 value. Okay. And the BTA, you know, took that position. The BTA never ruled on 2014. So, you know, the BTA looked at 12 and 13.
But the BTA clearly understood that the taxpayer was requesting $750,000 for 2014. That's why they had to, right, that's why they had to decide whether or not 2014 was properly a year they could decide.
Well, they clearly understood that the property owner wanted a decision on 14. But, and they clearly understood the property owner wanted the 2009 value carried into 12, 13, and 14. And what the BTA did is they said, you can't do that. You can't carry it forward. It ends at 12 because of the reappraisal. Then the BTA said, all right, we're going to look at the appraisal you submitted to us here for the first time without giving the school board an opportunity to know that we're going to do this. And we're going to say that your 12, that appraisal supports a value for 12 and 13. But even though that appraisal had a value for 14, the BTA said, look, we're not looking at 14. So we don't have any idea of what the BTA would do with 14.
Let me ask you about the appraisal. The taxpayer presented the appraisal at the BTA hearing. And did the school board know in advance that the appraisal was going to be presented?
There was an evidence disclosure that indicated an appraisal might be presented.
Okay.
And it was our position that it was irrelevant because there was no request to review the 2012 value.
And let me ask you about your cross appeal. Mm-hmm. Does the decision in LifePath Partners affect the validity of your cross appeal or not?
No, it does not. I think that the decision in LifePath Partners would indicate that you could raise the 14 year prior to the certification. It doesn't require that conclusion. And our position is that although the Board of Revision may have statutory jurisdiction to consider these years, somebody still has to invoke that jurisdiction. And what was invoked was not a request to review the 2012 value. It was simply a request to carry forward the 2009 value. And that is improper and illegal under AERC Sawmill Creek and the auditor's duty to reappraise.
Thank you. Well, with respect also to your cross appeal, you assert that no opinion of value was set forth on the form that asserted the continuing complaint.
That is correct.
But wasn't the BTA decision attached to it that had the parcel values as found for the earlier years?
Well, it was, but if you look at the complaint, the purpose of setting forth the value in the complaint is to let the Board of Revision and the BTA know what you're contending. The auditor valued at this. We think the value should be this. And we think that the auditor got it wrong for these reasons. Well, in this case, the property owner never really said what the value of the property should have been on 1-1-2012. It just said that as a matter of law, we have to use the 1-1-2009 value, regardless of what the true value of the property was in 2012. And we firmly believe that that's the wrong approach to take, that if they're going to look to review a value and not carry forward something as a matter of law, but if they want a review of the 2012 value, they have to say that they want that, and they have to say what they think the true value should be, not what should be carried forward as a matter of law, which should not be carried forward as a matter of law.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
I would like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal
on the cross appeal.
If possible.
Okay. Mr. Connors, you have 4 minutes and 2 seconds.
2 seconds. All right. The Lorain Board of Education still is acknowledging that there's no, or claiming no complaint for the year 2014. There is no requirement to file a fresh complaint. So even under their theory, for the year 2014, there's no issue. They are making this argument that they weren't provided notice. The court has before it the appellant's hearing brief. It's got a certificate of service dated the day before the hearing. And that hearing brief clearly outlines how we're saying the $750,000 value should be applied. It's true that we ask for that to be applied, but applied in the context that it should be treated as market value to be checked against the cost approach. The hearing brief is there. The argument that I'm making now is laid out there. There's summaries of what happened at the BOR where my argument is outlined. There's no question. They knew exactly what the argument was, and they had advance notice. To claim that the only thing that's being done is that we were asking that it be applied as a carry forward is simply incorrect, and obviously incorrect if you look at the hearing brief. The claim is we didn't ask for the 2012 value to be reviewed. I don't know what magic words we're supposed to be using. We said we believe that this is continuing complaint jurisdiction, and we believe that the market value is 750 and that it should be tested against your cost approach. And one answer, no answer yet has been made as to how they got to 1.5 million for cost approach when the numbers stated on the card are 850,000. This whole thing stinks. That's all I've got.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Connors. Mr. Conser, is there any rebuttal that you want to offer? There's a minute and 32 seconds.
Okay. Just briefly, Aaron, and I'll be within the minute and 32 seconds. The question here is notice as to what was happening. And what was presented here was a question of law, not a question of fact, to review the auditor's value. We believe that we and the law is on our side in that you cannot carry the 2009 value into 12, 13, and 14. You may well be able to use that 2009 sale to review the auditor's 2012 value, but that's not what happened here. We believe the Board of Revision was correct in denying any relief in this case. The BTA was correct in not considering 2014. We believe they were incorrect in using that appraisal evidence to raise at that late stage a question of value, reviewing the auditor's value. Because again, as I said, even as late as the pre-hearing brief in the BTA, the property owner only asked that the 2009 value be carried forward as a matter of law. It's his own words at the conclusion of the brief. What should happen in this case is the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals to not review 2014 should be affirmed. The decision to modify 12 and 13 should be reversed and the decision of the Board of Revision should be reinstated. If this court were to decide that the BTA acted properly on 12 and 13, then at best it should remand the case to the BTA for a hearing on value for 2014, because the BTA never considered that. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Conzer. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.